go hand in hand, because that's what you're repenting from. And let's see what he says to his disciples. Verse 7. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart from thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. And we'll read that account of the beheading of John in the following verses. But let's go back. Look at what Jesus tells his apostles, the disciples, the 12, to preach when they go forth. Then men should repent. Repent, the Greek word they use to translate this, metanoia. It literally means afterthought, or to think afterwards. But the implication of that idea is to think again, have second thoughts, and to change one's mind. It is the implied meaning of the change of mind, the change of heart. Change your minds. Change your ways. Go and walk in a different way. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And James had talked about how the tongue is like a rudder. It steers the whole body. Because it speaks to things that comes out of the heart. So, the words spoken by the mouth are a reflection of what's inside. And they dictate what the whole person is doing. I mean, you can speak with a lying tongue, but I'm speaking of in the righteous sense. I mean, it's because I'll tell you what, it's for certain. You can mouth hypocritical words. Words of hypocrisy. Say and do not. It just means you have a broken rudder that's pointing in the right direction. And it's certain if you speak perverse things that your ship is in the wrong direction. But if we speak the right things, we will be right. Because the words of faith reflect the inward conviction of the heart that says, I believe the promises of God. I believe in what Jesus Christ taught, that he's going to turn me from my iniquities, that he's going to make me free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Not just a theoretical freedom for those who have not obtained promises. Because those who don't obtain the promises of God, they want to find some other explanation. They say, well, I can't be righteous, so there's got to be some other explanation because I'm one of God's elect, right? So, the most logical explanation is that the righteousness is a righteousness that only God can see. Only God can see the righteousness which is on me. See, God can see it. You can't see it. All you see is my sin. But God looks at me and says, hey, I see Jesus acting righteous. That isn't, a guy being all drunk and everything. No, that's imputation is what you call it. The imputation is the only kind of righteousness that we should expect to have because that's the kind of righteousness I have. And I, being a minister, am an authority on these matters. That's an absolute perversion. The mouth speaking perverse things, leading the person to perversity. Because if we speak that we shall sin, it is certain that we will. But if we speak rather that we shall do the will of God, now there is an opportunity for faith to have its work and the power of God to come down and to cause us to walk in the way we ought to walk because that's what we're asking. Ask anything in my name and it will be done unto you. Ask this Can I tell you what? There's a lot of things, you know, I don't know if God wants me to have my crooked toes straightened out, or if God wants me to have this minor ailment fixed or that minor ailment. But I do know one thing, that those who do iniquity, that those who have heresy, that those who do all manner of sin are not going to inherit God's kingdom. And I want to inherit God's kingdom, so I know that I can go into the kingdom of God with a broken toe. I can go into the kingdom of God with an eye plucked out. I can go into the kingdom of God with a missing arm, or with a missing leg, or with some sort of disease, but I can't go into the kingdom of God with sin. I cannot enter in. Therefore, it is preached that all men should repent. Repent, men. You ought to repent. Repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. And some people think, because those who followed Christ left off this preaching, because the times were evil, and because the Lord tarried, they've taken on other doctrines. They're saying, and I don't deny the imputation of righteousness. I just deny that that is the only way in which righteousness is given to us. It's manifest. It's not merely imputed. Because then it would be, if the Son therefore shall make you free, he shall make you free theoretically. Theoretically you will be free, but in fact you will actually be committing sin. Because whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Make you free. That means that you know, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. This is John 8. Whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If you commit sin, then you serve sin. And you can't abide forever if you serve sin. But if the Son makes you free, you're really going to be free. It's not whosoever doesn't have the blood of Jesus on them is the servant of sin. No, it's whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. That is why it is preached that men should repent. Men should repent. Verse 12, men should repent. Today it said, no, men should believe. They ought to believe. If you believe, you will repent. Because that's part of what we believe. We don't just believe in Jesus as a statue who has no thoughts or feelings. He's just an idea into which we pour our faith. I'll pour my faith into that image of a man. But everything he stands for, the teachings of Jesus, we have faith in Jesus and we believe the things he says. Because those are the things that we ought to do. Those are the doctrines, the things that we are taught, that by understanding these things, we perform them, believe them, do them, whatever is required. You know, Noah, by faith, built an ark. He did something. Faith without works is dead. You know, people say,